All right, saints. Well, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. Tonight we're going to do a topical in the book of Psalms. We're going to be in chapter 27. I titled tonight's message, When Fear Comes Knocking. And if you remember one thing, this is it. When fear comes knocking, have truth answer the door. Amen. When fear comes knocking, have truth answer the door. You know, fear, when it comes, it does several things to us. And I'm talking about not a healthy fear, but the kind of fear that clouds us. It makes it hard for us to see. It confuses us. The fear that cripples us, that kind of fear that causes us to not move forward in God's will. That's the kind of fear that we're going to be talking about tonight. And chapter 27 of Psalms shows us how the psalmist dealt with this kind of fear when trouble comes. And from time to time, we all experience in our journey of faith fearful situations. And we're afraid because ultimately we don't know how things are going to work out. You know, maybe there's someone in the workplace that's challenging you. Maybe someone in the home, a child. You're not sure how things are going to work out. You're afraid. Maybe you've heard a health report and it grips you. Whatever it is, some news comes or some adversary comes, and it could really cause you to become crippled. And so what David shows us is how to handle that kind of fear. And basically, when fear comes knocking, send truth to open that door. Let truth deal with it. And so there's four ways that we see David do this. If you are a note taker, you can write down, speak truth. When fear comes, you combat fear by speaking truth. You don't let fear in. You don't welcome it. You speak truth. The second thing is you seek truth. When fear comes, seek truth. Truth is a powerful thing, and truth sets people free. You're going to see David being set free from fear because he seeks truth. Then the third thing is the importance of standing in truth. And then the last thing, sharing truth. These four things, speak truth, seek truth, stand in truth, and share truth. That's what David did, and we're going to see this beautiful pattern just laid out in Psalm 27. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this time that we could spend in it, being built up in our faith. And Lord, as we look at this devotionally, we pray, God, that you would just minister to our hearts. And Lord, you know what everyone's going through, what everyone needs. And Lord, maybe if it's not us, I pray that you'd put somebody in our path tomorrow, tonight, this weekend, where the things that we hear, we can share these truths and encourage somebody else with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're going to notice that in here there are three conversations that David is having. If I remember, I'll point them out. But see if you can discover the three conversations. Maybe better said, see if you can discover where they are. Because I'll give you this clue. The first one, David is having a conversation, guess with who? Himself. Himself. Then he has a conversation with the Lord. And then, believe it or not, David has a conversation with you and with me. And so we're going to see how David speaks truth to himself when fear comes, not just knocking at the door, but trying to break the door down to destroy him. Try to pick up on the truth that he speaks. This is internal talk. This is self-talk. Everybody has self-talk. Everybody, all of us are talking to ourselves all day long. And either we're speaking truth, or if fear is let in, fear speaks a bunch of lies and deceives us into thinking that these are the things that are going to happen. And we have no idea whether that's going to happen. That's why Paul said, whatever things are true, meditate on these things. And so let's see what, in his self-talk, and how important it is to speak truth to yourself, to encourage yourself with truth. And I don't know if I said it already, but the reason why truth is so powerful is because truth sets you free. Did I say that already? Yes or no?
Yes.
I am getting older. I am forgetting. Yes, you're right. That is a true statement. Here's the first truth statement. Right now, we don't know yet that he's in trouble, but here's the first truth statement. The Lord is my light. You know, fear would say you have no one. Fear would say you are done. Fear would say you are not worth it. Fear will say quit. But David to himself, he says, the Lord is my light. Light shines or expels the darkness. Fear, that kind of fear is dark. And light expels that kind of darkness. Light is, you could say, revelation. Because when you are in light, you can see. When you're in darkness, you cannot see. And the Lord is that revelation, that light. He is the one that speaks truth. He is the source of truth. And so David, in his self-talk, starts to encourage himself by saying, God, you are my light. You're the one who helps me to see. When the darkness comes, when the fear is just pounding and trying to get in and consume me, you're my light. The second truth, I guess, I don't want to say bomb, but I like the word bomb, but the truth power here that David uses is the Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. God, you are my deliverer. You saved me from eternal hell. The worst thing that could ever happen to me, you saved me from that. But you continue to save me. Now, we don't know when this happened. This could have happened at different times in David's life. The circumstances that caused David to write this. But some suppose that this happened in between the time David was anointed as king by Samuel, the prophet, but before he was anointed as king publicly. We don't know if that's true. We can't verify it, but there's many scholars that believe that is the time. And perhaps they also connect that this would be very likely a time when Saul was after David, trying to hunt David down. And so imagine this. You're an innocent person. You've done nothing wrong. And the president of the United States wants to arrest you and use capital punishment and destroy you. And not only that, he's got the army trying to find you. That might seem a little overwhelming, huh? Well, that's what David was going through. The king of Israel had it out for him. So if that was the case, I could see David being fearful. It could have been other times. David was a man of war. We really don't know, but David was no stranger to conflict. But he learned early on in his life that my God is my light, and my God is my deliverer. And then he says, of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So the Lord, number one, is my light. Number two, he is my deliverer. And number three, he is my strength. He learned that early. Remember when all the armies of Israel were paralyzed with fear, that young boy, David, said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And against all odds, that young boy, trusting God, destroyed this massive threat and brought victory to a nation. So he was no stranger of challenges, but he knew from the past what God had done for him and through him. And now he is experiencing another episode. He says, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. He's looking back. He's dealing with something, but he's looking back at past deliverance. And he's encouraging himself in the truth. He's speaking truth. And then he says, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. And so now he's still talking to himself, but now he starts preparing us for this seeking God in his present circumstances. He's encouraging himself, reminding himself of who God is, how God has delivered him in the past. And so he's going to seek God in the present. And that's who is truth. God is the author of truth. There's only one source of truth, of divine truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth. And so David is seeking truth. And he says, one thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. You know, the temple even wasn't even created yet, but that was in his heart. There was the tabernacle, but the temple had not been built yet. That would be done by his son Solomon. But he knew and he believed in his heart that one day there would be that temple. But he spent time in the house of God, seeking the face of God, the beauty of God, talking about this pursuit of just his presence. I can't tell you the amount of times that there's been times that I've woken up with such fear, gripped with fear because of what I was dealing with, what I was facing, and I just sought the presence of God. I wasn't seeking deliverance. I just wanted fellowship with God. I just wanted to see the beauty of his countenance, that intimacy. God, you are so good and merciful. I know you're with me. You told me you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Thank you, God. You're so faithful, and I love you. I'm going to just surrender this to you. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I know you're with me, God. And whether it's good or bad, I know I'm not guaranteed anything. The only thing I'm guaranteed is that I'm your child, that one day I will see you face to face. And so, if it's hardships that are coming, I'll praise you. If you're going to work this out in a way that, and generally I got to be just straightforward. God has always worked everything out for the good. It's been a wonderful journey. And that's what David is doing, seeking God's face, seeking truth, because it's in that intimacy where God speaks, there is this fellowship, and God speaks to your heart. And he fuses faith in you. And then there's that confidence and that ability to overcome the fear, the threat, and to be able to see things clearly, not be clouded by the trouble, but to live in confidence because God is with us. And so David, he's seeking, and notice where he goes. He talks about the house of the Lord. He says, in the times of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, talking about God protecting him. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. So he's going to protect me and he's going to settle me. And I love it. You know, he says, I want to pursue you, Lord. I want to seek you. I want to seek truth. And he goes to the place where God has established that this is God's house. Now, we know God is not contained in a building, but it was established. This was sacred. And the house of God, it's a place where we come and we commune with God. God has established his house. Man has not established his house. God has. Jesus said, I will build my church. Now, the building is not the house. I mean, we are. We are the house. But nevertheless, this is where we gather. This is where it's recognized. It is the house of God, the pillar and ground of truth. And so David is seeking truth in the house of God. And it reminds me, and he starts in this fellowship with the Lord. You know, it settles him. It encourages his heart. It strengthens him. He knows God is going to establish him. Even though things haven't changed, he's confident in the Lord. But it blesses me. It reminds me of Asaph. You remember what Asaph said? In Psalm 73, he was talking about how he almost slipped because he was focusing on the wicked. And he would think, how is it, you know, I'm a priest and I serve you and I go through trouble and hardship and it's challenging. And then these wicked people that don't serve you, they seem to be rich and happy and it just doesn't seem right. And he was focusing on man and things not being fair. And then he said, it wasn't until I went into your house, then I understood their end. See, being in God's presence, being in his house, when we seek him with the right heart, God makes things clear. And if you read Psalm 73, you see a whole change of heart because he was in the house of God, seeking God. And even in the psalmist says, blessed are those who are planted in the house of the Lord. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall flourish, and they will declare that the Lord is righteous. God's house, it is so important to be in the house of God, seeking God more than anything. And that's what David does. He seeks the Lord, and he says, God's going to protect me. God is going to set me high upon a rock. I'll be settled, secure. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. He talks about not only being protected, not only being settled and established and under a firm foundation, he talks about victory here. And he's being ministered to by God. And God's reminding him, I'm going to protect you. I'll establish you, settle you, and I will give you victory over your enemies, over those fears. And therefore, he says in verse 6, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. You know, it's a sacrifice of joy because his circumstance, they're not changing. Not yet. His heart is changing. His understanding is changing. His perspective is changing, being in the presence of God. But his circumstances aren't changing. And so it's a sacrifice because things aren't changing. But yet, instead of being discouraged, instead of wanting to quit, throw in the towel, instead of doing something wrong, he says, I'm going to express joy and I'm going to worship you. Even if I don't feel it, I'm going to rejoice in you and sing to you. And you know, God has given us a garment. Have you put on that garment lately? You know what it's called? The garment of praise. And what is it for? It's a spirit, for the spirit of heaviness. And when you're facing fears, boy, that fear really wants to weigh you down. And David says, you know what? I'm going to put on a garment of praise. I'm putting it in my words, of course. And I'm going to worship God. One of the most powerful things you can do. Seek the Lord, seek his face, worship him. Because joy comes. It's amazing. And I know all of you have experienced that you were facing something at some point and you were overwhelmed and then you sought the face of God. You sought truth. And as you sought truth, God just changed your whole perspective and filled you with joy and peace. And you're able to move forward with confidence. Hasn't that happened? And that's just how good God is when we seek him, when we seek truth. So that's the first conversation he's having with himself. He's encouraging himself. He saying, this is what you're going to do, regardless of what you're going through, this is what you're going to do. You're going to speak truth to yourself, and you're going to seek the Lord. You're going to worship Him, and you're going to trust that He's going to take care of you and establish you and give you victory. So he moves from speaking to himself, which that's good, to practice good internal talk. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Now the conversation shifts from speaking to himself to speaking to God. And you see it. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. And then he says, have mercy upon me and answer me. See, because the fact of the matter is we need mercy. And David, he understood he wasn't perfect. He wasn't a perfect man. He needed compassion. God, be compassionate to me. Take pity upon me. I need you. This situation is overwhelming me. And apart from your help, I'm doomed. But with your help, have mercy on me. I'm confident that I will overcome. I can't do this without you. I need you. And then listen to what God spoke to him. I don't know how. I mean, when God speaks to me, the best way I can explain it, and we're all believers, so I would imagine it's the same way for you, is there's an impression within your being. It's like a voice within your being, your spirit. God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit. And so God's spirit ministers to our spirit. And so God spoke to him, and you know what he told him? Here, David's got these troubles, and you know what God tells him? Seek my face. Because that's where freedom comes. Seeking truth, seeking intimacy with God, spending time fellowshipping with God. And so David says in verse 8, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. That's where the point of victory begins. That is like the foundation for victory. And not so much seeking victory, but seeking God's face, the God who gives victory, the God of truth. And he says, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me. You know, these are all beautiful, beautiful expressions of just genuine heart cry to God. That's what he said. He says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. And this is a wonderful example for us who sometimes we're not sure how to pray. Look how just simple, how just genuine and heartfelt David's prayers were. Just simple. We don't have to complicate it. I don't have to come in God's presence and say, oh, Holy Father, creator of heaven and earth, creator of all that is seen and unseen, thou who art worthy. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But God, I need your help. I am afraid. I don't know what to do. I don't know what this is going to look like, but I'm not going to focus on that. I'm just going to surrender that to you. And God, I'm just going to love you and worship you and just seek your truth and your word. God, fill me with faith and peace. Help me to overcome this. God, bring victory. Just simple, beautiful. He says, again in verse 9, halfway down, do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. You're my Savior, my salvation. I have no one else but you, God. No one else can save me but you. And then he says this, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Now, we don't have any record that David's parents forsook him. And I think this is more poetic, because the most trustworthy help you have on the planet generally comes from mom and dad. Especially mom, but mom and dad. You know, I have a lot of friends, and I'm so thankful for the family I have in Christ. But I believe as much as many would help me. My mom, when she was here on the planet, there was like no limit to her help. And she was just an incredible mom. One that you know you could just absolutely depend on, and she will be there. And so he's using this in the sense that the person who most would be there generally to help you, if I have no one, and sometimes fear, and life brings us to those kinds of situations where we have no one who will care for us, but God always will. And so he's still speaking and talking to the Lord. And so now he starts seeking. Well, he's seeking truth, but we're going to see how he starts preparing, and he's going to drop it on how important it is to stand in truth. And so he's seeking truth, and he says, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me. They're lying about David. They're painting a picture of David that's not true. We don't know what the circumstances are, but he, you know, saying, God, teach me your way in this. Give me wisdom in this. Give me truth. Help my path. You know, help me walk on a smooth path. I don't want to get distracted by this stuff. He says, do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. Again, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. And so he's seeking truth, and now he lands on the importance of standing on truth. He says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, truth is something that we are to speak to ourselves, we are to seek, and we are to stand in. And that's what David is saying right there. I'm standing in this truth, and because I'm standing in the truth of God's word, and because of the things that God has put in my heart, I have confidence. I'm going to see good. As he says, that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So he has so far two conversations, a conversation with himself, a conversation with God. And in it, you keep seeing that there's all these things that he mentions that bring fear, enemies, people against him, people lying about him, all this stuff that's coming. And so fear comes knocking at the door, but what does he do? He lets truth open it. And now we move on to the last conversation, the conversation with you. conversation with me. See, because these are truths that are to be shared. And that's what David does. He shares these truths. And he says, wait on the Lord. He's talking to you. You who perhaps are facing some kind of fearful situation. And you really can't afford to let fear come in and control you. You can't afford that. Because when fear comes in and controls you, it clouds you, it confuses you, and it keeps you down. And you can't live like that long term. We all get discouraged, but truth sets us free. And David's been set free, and so now he's sharing the truth that set him free with you and with me. And he sums it all up in this last verse. And he tells us, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And waiting on the Lord doesn't mean to be idle, just sit there and do nothing. David says, I'm going to go into God's house. I'm going to seek his face. God told me to seek his face, so I'm going to seek his face. It's active. Waiting on the Lord is active. It's active faith. It's not, beat up faith. It's trusting God, seeking God, doing what's right, even when we're being done wrong. And so he says, wait on the Lord. That's another way of saying trust the Lord. You're fearful, you're facing hardships, just trust the Lord. Trust him. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. And that's where victory comes. You know, when God strengthens our heart, we can overcome anything. There's so many people I've known throughout my years of life as a pastor where they've gotten horrible news, horrible situations. And they trust the Lord, and the Lord strengthened their heart, and they rise above it, and they give glory to God. It amazes me. You know, there's some things that I've seen some people go through and I haven't gone through, and what beautiful testimony. I've seen other people, they go through less things and they're like devastated, and they're Christians. I've seen Christians go through some hardships and they've just got so devastated. And I don't understand, how is it? And these folks, you know, they're all going through things, and then these folks, they seem to embrace it and they just keep moving forward in faith. They're encouraging other people. And then these other folks, they're just like in a chronic, you know, they just can't snap out of it. But I know we're all different, and I'm not judging. I just see those two things. Those some people, the way they process, I don't know. I'm not saying one's bad or one's good. It's just all I could say is wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. When we trust God, that's what he does. He strengthens the heart, and that brings victory. And then just in case you didn't hear him, he does what all good preachers do. He repeats himself. He says, wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, what a message. If that's all we get tonight, that is so good. What a message for you. What a message for me. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Hey, I'm talking to you. That's what David said. Hey, I'm talking to you. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Listen, I'm going to tell you again, wait on the Lord. Man, what a blessing David is, huh? And so, when fear comes knocking at that door, just send truth. Let truth open that door. Don't let fear in. Remember, that internal talk, you have more control over it than you think. So speak truth. And then seek truth. Stand in that truth. And then share that truth. And Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace. And we thank you for the word that ministers to our hearts. We give you all glory, all honor. And it's in your name that we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's